provides the availability of one-way attorney's fees. Aren't we concerned that one-way attorney's fees provided in this bill will incentivize frivolous litigation and create more billboard lawyers, which I know is a serious concern of the members of this body?
Representative McClain.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do not.
Yeah, I mean, a very terse answer, not the best of answers. This was Hillary Cassell and Stan McClain, state representatives, talking about the parental rights bill, the expansion of this bill up to the eighth grade, and a bunch of other changes that are in there that are very interesting, including the ability to read from the texts that are up for consideration when you're in the school board meeting. And if you're not allowed to read from the text, then the book gets banned, basically. But this issue of lawsuits is one that concerns me. And since he's an attorney and since he was a part of this conversation, of course, State Representative Alex Andrade, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Good Friday. So this is an argument that is, I don't know if it's decisive to me, but it is concerning for me that we are establishing too much of a frivolous lawsuit, one-way lawsuit, when parents or even complainants are just not happy about how the books are being managed in the educational system. Are you not concerned about that?
No, not at all. It's a specious argument. So, and this is why. So if anytime we allow the government to try and collect attorney's fees as a prevailing party on a private citizen, Democrats will be the first ones up in pitchforks saying we're trying to chill speech. In this circumstance, you have a power dynamic where you have, you know, individual parents potentially going up against, you know, a school board potentially trying to fight with them. School boards have the largest governmental budgets in almost every single county. The school board in Escambia County has a larger budget than Escambia County Commission. These are very large entities. They have, you know, they have their own lawyers. They're more sophisticated than individual parents. And if parents are forced to go down the route of having to go bring some type of a lawsuit, like a Beck action to try and enforce the law, putting the additional risk of you know, attorney's fees, having to pay the school board's attorney's fees, which will be much higher than their own, it's just something that didn't make sense.
Why not take out all the attorney's fees in both directions?
Well, if they're meritorious, if the parent is right and they were forced to sue the school board to just simply enforce the law, then they should get their attorney's fees back.
Okay, it's just a different picture of, I had always pictured school districts as being afraid to get into litigation because of the cost of defending things, and they themselves internalize this chilled speech kind of concept because they don't know what the right thing is and they don't want to get sued because they're afraid of the cost of it. So that's just a different picture of school board spending than I'm familiar with. But
well, if a parent is threatening a meritorious lawsuit and the school board's concerned about litigation, they can go to the attorney general for an opinion. Like, they're a government entity. They can ask an AGO for an opinion. Fun fact, these AG opinions that are issued, they have almost like a 100% success rate at being right whenever a question of law is appealed. So there are plenty of opportunities for a school board to avoid litigation. There are plenty of opportunities for a school board to fight back against frivolous litigation. But the fee shifting on the statutory right to fee shifting is just something that they're not entitled to at this point. And the billboard lawyer arguments from a plaintiff's lawyer like Hillary Cassell were just kind of silly.
Well, I'll take your word for it. That's fine. I mean, that's an answer. I had been looking for an answer on that, so I'll take your answer for it. You've been working on some things that haven't gotten a lot of attention. One has to do with a $6 million, as I understand it, a penalty dealing with Skanska still. Is that right?
Yeah. And so we all know that Skanska violated some terms in their contract because they didn't finish the bridge on time and because there was about 9 months where they didn't have four lanes of traffic across Pensacola Bay. So there are these things in contrast to liquidated damages. If certain things aren't met, for every day that they're not met, you're levied a penalty on the contract amount. It was like $35,000 a day for not having four lanes across the bridge. On that alone, that's about $9, $10 million just for the bridge being down. So I proposed in our budget this year that $6 million off this Skanska contract should revert back to District 3 DOT to go towards unbudgeted construction projects that improve safety or mobility in Escambia or Santa Rosa County. And thankfully, I have a Senate counterpart in Senator Broxton, where, I'm very confident that that can get done this year. So it's in our House proposed budget. It should be taken up on the Senate proposed budget when we go to conference. And hopefully that'll mean a couple additional projects for Escambia, Santa Rosa County.
All right. Nice. I mean, it's a way to get something. There are other ways we wish we could get even more from them, but that's a way to get something non-insignificant. So I'll take that.
Well, this is a method of getting it before they actually go through their contract dispute process.
Okay.
I went to them and I said, you guys owe at least, $9 million. So why don't we just go ahead and get $6 million and make it productive, because we know you owe at least nine before they settle up on the contract with DOT. So I'm trying to fast track.
So this is known money coming in the end. Eventually, let's get it now since we know it's coming. That makes sense. We're talking to Alex Andrade, state representative for District 2. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
We're getting reports that it could be a fatality on I-10. So certainly be careful there. This is I-10 eastbound, just east of exit 7, Pine Forest Road. It's usually tied up this time of morning, too, due to an accident or something. Nobody said accident, but it is down to one lane. Several officers and responders on scene, still unsure what happened at this point. But if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to our Representative Alex Andrade. One of the questions about if Governor DeSantis decides to run for president, that, would he, under Florida law, have to resign the office? That's the first question that seems to be in some dispute. And second, if he does, or if we're concerned that he might, changing the law in order to accommodate him and not having to have him resign. But that is not in the elections bill that's been proposed on the Senate side at all. I don't think it's been proposed yet on the House side. But you tell me, do you think the law needs to be changed for him to be able to run? And do you think it will be changed this session, if so?
So there's a question about whether or not he would have to resign prior to accepting the nomination at a Republican convention, assuming he wins the Republican primary for president.
Okay.
But regardless of any of that, you have a running mate who would take over, right? The lieutenant governor would take over. So the two questions really are, do we need to make sure that resign to run is lifted so he can remain governor in the event that he, decides to run and doesn't go through with it fully? And do we want to discuss whether or not to have an election for governor rather than just allow a lieutenant governor to operate the state for two additional years? Those are two questions that are being discussed right now. I don't know the ultimate resolution, but there's still plenty of time on the clock in session to come up with those answers.
Okay, yeah, and I agreed. That second question is an important one to figure out what we really want to have happen in case things turn out that way. I'd also wanted to ask you, and I knew you'd be the guy to ask because you've been in the middle of this conversation, and I think you even ran the bill, if I remember correctly, but the Reedy Creek District bill with Disney, and now they apparently, 11:30 basically before they lost control, signed into agreement a deal that gives them the power to control things as long as there's an heir of King Charles III still alive, which is a super weird thing to imagine being done in a contract in the United States. But the reporting has been, they outmaneuvered DeSantis and the legislature on this. What's your read of this situation?
Nobody out legally maneuvered anybody. The entity only exists because the legislature in the state created it. No city in Florida, no county in Florida could have signed the same agreement with the notice that was provided. There's plenty of methods of overturning it. I really viewed it as kind of like a nothing burger. It felt a little bit more childish than anything else from my point of view. It'll be addressed just fine. I think it was honestly an overreach or miscalculation on, Disney's part, just because, again, it's not like it's going to stick. There's plenty of methods of overturning it, both legally and legislatively. Just how combative they wanted to be in changing the makeup, right? Like, these are the original Reedy Creek Improvement Board were just company employees and company controlled individuals that operated the government, issued tax exempt bonds. we now have a true local government type run entity there. I don't know why Disney hated that so much. But at the end of the day, no, it's not, it is not at all some type of win or, you know, embarrassment for anybody. Like we change special districts all the time. And even in litigation, like I've modified the territory of the Miami-Dade Expressway Authority before just because of, you know, some appellate arguments that were being brought up in disputes between MDX and the state. So, no, I mean, we're the 14th largest economy in the world as a state. We have a massive budget. If Disney thinks they're bigger than the state of Florida, they're going to find out at some point that they're not.
Well, so instead of being an oh snap moment, it's one of those oh I don't know how to snap my fingers moments, and that's why I wanted to ask you because I knew you would know. Much like the question about the one-way litigation issue, Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. That's the southern half of Escambia County and the basically beachfront areas of waterfront areas of southern Santa Rosa County. Alex, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for joining us here on the morning of Good Friday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Andrew. 6:51.